follow so ever will. Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for preparing a table at the table that is prepared by the Lord. A table of manna, a table of joy and strength, Lord, in the precious word of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father, for this time of dining, feasting, rejoicing in thy word, in thy presence. We are truly a privileged people, Lord, for what you have done for us. So, Father, we commit this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take today to just touch upon the gift of the Holy Spirit, or spiritual gift. I want to apologize for last Sunday, the first part of my sermon. I was fumbling away because I was suffering in pain up here with that socket, that is gap, and I was half the time I was trying to fight the pain away from my half of my face, so it was kind of hard, couldn't concentrate, and I thought I wasn't be able to do it this morning also, because the last few days the pain was still there. Well, anyway, I know the Lord gives strength, and everything will be fine this morning. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when we talk about spiritual gift this morning, I want to first of all to say this, that being that I came out from Pentecostal church, you know, I've been taught all these things, and I've seen the move of the Spirit in the movement, in the history back in the early, or 50 years of the 20th century, and see how God poured the Spirit and moved on, and how that, you know, the gift of God was poured out greatly. But then when we come into this message, when the message was brought forth in the second half of the 20th century, there seems to be a little pulling back from this gift, because people get more into the Word of God as they watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus and so on. So by the time then that we go into the last 10 or 20 years of the last century, it seems that, you know, being involved in the end time message, going deeply into the Word of God to understand what God's plan and purposes are for the bride and how that He's preparing a people, I began to notice one thing for sure, that in many of the churches, particularly all the churches I've been to, that there don't seem to be gift operating in and during the fellowship. And because of that, we're just wondering, you know, are people giving up this gift because they want to know about the message? Or is it because there is other reason for God not doing something for the church? Or is it because there is no desire in the believer's life to seek for the gift? So when we talk about this gift of the Holy Spirit, Paul's beginning of his writing of this epistle of the Corinthians, you notice one thing, there is one word that Paul always used practically a couple of times in his epistle that he had written. Let's go on to the first verse and you see. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. The word ignorant appears here. And also in other places of Paul's epistle. So, Paul warned the people not to be ignorant. Now, there are other places where Paul wrote about, when he used the word ignorant, is this. In the book of Romans chapter 11, verse 25. If you look at that, Paul says about the mystery of iniquity. Chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not grant that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Well, there are others about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, we look into some of these verses, what important of the way that Paul wrote it. chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our Father were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we have heard about those that die in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. You see how that Paul talks about these things like that. Why are these things, why did Paul use this word? I would not have you be ignorant about this. I don't want you to be ignorant about this subject, this topic, about this issue. If Paul used the word, I would not have you be ignorant, that means it is important for us to know about these things then. Obviously. Or else you won't have stressed it so greatly. So, well, here in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the main chapter of our discussion today or study today. Let's go to it. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now here is the word here we need to understand that it is not just gifts. It is spiritual gifts. It is not just ordinary gifts that God gives, but they are spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto this dumb idol, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, here I want me to point out something here. When Paul talks at this, in fact, later on when we will look at some words of the Bible, it has always been said. Now, I have shown to you 2 weeks ago, I believe, about the man who wrote me an email, and he's a Trinitarian, and he's from the Pentecostal background, and challenging me about the serpent seed. And of course, he said it was a seed of Satan, when I don't even say that. And he wanted to teach me, and to say to me, he said, the rule of Bible study. And he quoted me, of course, well-known definition of how to study the Bible. He says, take the Bible literally, where it is literal. Otherwise, if there is some allegory or some symbol or whatever it is, then we look for something else. So that's what he was saying. Now, brother and sister, many times the Bible is written in such a way as I say this. Yes. When Jesus speaks in some way, you know it's literal. When the Bible says Jesus went to Capernaum, of course, we know it's literal. Is that right? When Jesus said to Mary, you know what, concerning the pot of water, we know it is literal. When the water turned to wine, we know that it's also literal. Is that right? When Jesus said to Peter, when he was walking on water, Peter said, you wanted to come. Jesus says, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked, we know that it's literal. Is that right? But many times, there are also times when Jesus says something, you cannot just simply grab it as literal. Or even when the apostle wrote something, we cannot just take it as literal. Because many times, this speech, again, I want to remind you, can be exaggerated. You understand? Or could be very general. So if you take those words and go by literal, you'll find that you end up in a corner, not knowing how to go about looking at that. We'll look at some example later on. But let's look and see what it is here right now. Paul here said, no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. We know that's for sure, right? If anybody who's filled with the Holy Spirit don't say Jesus cursing Jesus or Jesus the devil or something. Nobody will curse Jesus in that form if he is really filled with the Holy Spirit. The other thing here, he also said that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now that is also true. When we are born again, we have also we say Jesus is the Lord. Now on the other hand, there are many who are also not Christian, not really born again. Maybe it's a Catholic or whatever, you know, or some other, they just go to church, you know, but they are not really born, yeah, Jesus is Lord. But you know, they notice that somewhere down the line, later on, they never truly were born again, they left the faith. You know what I mean? So called as they have been calling themselves Christian. Why? That the Bible says here is true, no man called Jesus that Jesus said that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. That is to say that anybody can come and tell you, see, yes, Jesus is the Lord. It means to say that the Holy Spirit caused the man to be able to say that. Whether he is a believer or not, is immaterial. Do you realize that? It is immaterial. You understand? There are some who say, oh yeah, Jesus is the Lord. They are not necessarily mean that they are Christian. They have been sitting under a church, Christian meeting, or they may be in going to church, or maybe they read the Bible, but they are not born again. Yeah, they can say that Jesus is the Lord. They go to church and they can say hallelujah too and praise the Lord, along with everybody else. So we must remember there are three kinds of people that go to church. Believers, make-believers and unbelievers. They can all say, praise God. Say, yes, Jesus is the Lord. But the true testimony comes later on to find out whether the person is or not. And to verify whether the person is or not is the fruit in their life. How they stand on the word, how they speak the word. And it's not just one time. The Bible said, if anyone confess the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall be saved. Is that right? But the son said, yeah, I confess Jesus. That doesn't mean that he is saved. Because there's always something that involves in the word faith, confession, believe. It is not just something that is up there here in the head. You see, it is something that is in the heart. For sure. When Jesus Christ comes back in the future, the Bible said that at the name of Jesus, all knees will bow. All knees will bow. The sinner will have to bow their knees. And they said, Jesus is the Lord. But they are not saved. But they have to, they will come to that revelation. God will show them who this Jesus is. And you will have to bow to that. You see, so when we read this, we need to understand. So some people in the past, I remember when I was in denomination, they come and teach you and say that those who confess that Jesus is, say that Jesus is the Lord, they are born again. Not necessarily. But all who are born again will confess that. Alright? Now, there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of operation, but it's the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, to profit from it. And but to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of Spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work the one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as you will. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member only, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as he pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body then? And now, are there many members, yet one body? But the eye cannot say unto the head, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon this we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely part have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffered, all the members suffered with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, to be teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? The answer is no. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. Now Paul's teaching is that the gifts of God are given by the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, being from a Pentecostal background, sometimes now when I look back into the teaching, I realize how true that if you are bound by tradition, you have a tendency to have that traditional idea. And so, as I said, all my theological book goes out, and I do not want to face the Word of God with the traditional things in the back of my head. And you know, we realize as the denomination tendencies to believe the Trinitarian doctrine, they will say that God sent the Son. The Son sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sent the gifts. You get what I mean? Huh? So it's they are teaching in this form that it wasn't Jesus who gave the gifts. It wasn't God who gave the gift. It was the Holy Spirit who gave the gifts. Because the way that they read, because the Bible said in verse 11, the Spirit divinely every man severally as he will. So they always say the Spirit that gives the gifts. Now we know for sure one thing, that if you read the Bible, that if you go to the beginning of the Bible and read it all the way down, you realize that when the Bible talks about in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. When you use the word God, you know, you are talking about the Almighty Spirit. You are talking about Yahweh, whom was later revealed. His name was given then to us and to Abraham to understand the name. I am that I am. And we know the Bible said that God is Spirit. And we know God says, Paul says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form of God. And the Spirit of God began to move upon the surface of the world. Now, the picture doesn't conjure up two different spirits. One being God, the Father, God. The other one, the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit moving upon the surface of the water. Do you understand that? So there is no way that you can see in the Old Testament about fatherhood. It's all about the Spirit of God, Yahweh. The knowledge about fatherhood comes in when we see the prophecy concerning the Son. If there is no Son mentioned, there is no fatherhood to begin with. In the Old Testament, that's why the children of Israel did not worship God as God the Father. Do you understand that? To them, God is always Yahweh. I am that I am. They never address God as Father. We only realize when we pray the way we pray our Heavenly Father, because Jesus Christ taught the disciples this is how you pray. Otherwise, well, you know, I think the Chinese mythology or whatever mythology, we all say Tian Gong. Tian Gong, Tian Gong. Qi Gong. Is that right? You see, so that's all we probably know. You see, so, but Jesus, because He came, He revealed the Father. Is that right? He revealed the Father. So then we realized that, oh my, God is truly not only just our Creator, our Creator, but He is also our Father. Jesus Christ was the only begotten that shows a relationship between Father and Son. And we are the siblings. You know, I'm so glad that we are brother and sister to Christ, you know. Even as much as Jesus Christ was our Lord and Savior. And because of that, we get the inheritance. You know, I rejoice many times just thinking about it. Oh my, I'm a brother to Jesus Christ. And yet He's my Lord, my Savior. Think about it. You see. So in those days, you would just have the Spirit of God. The Bible mentioned Yahweh, I am God, the Spirit moves and all this. So by the time come the New Testament, Christ appeared, then we realize, oh, okay, there was this relationship. You know. And then after that, when Jesus Christ, He was on earth, He was working. He was manifesting your Father. So when He goes up, He said, I will give you the Spirit. You see, God intended to give the Spirit to you. That's why in the Old Testament He anointed Abraham, Moses, and all these prophets and kings. He anointed them. That He's actually giving part of the spirit of his word. He there did not get the Holy Spirit like we get the Holy Spirit today, being born again. Do you understand? So, God actually wanted to give the Spirit his life to you. And when he gave the life to you, he was given through something that was very close to him, his heart, and that was his only begotten Son. And it is through this giving of the Son that the Son died, and he said, if I don't die, there cannot be any fruit coming out. I said, the greater we die, you will not bring forth much fruit. So when Jesus died, then he brought us up. So that's why, you know, when Jesus goes back, he gave the Spirit to you. And you know, that's why we say again, the Spirit of God is still working. Alpha, Omega, Spirit of God, creation in the beginning, Spirit of God in recreation, giving us a new life. Do you understand that now? So when we begin to see, understand that, we realize, oh, okay, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian approach, oh my, it's just a lot of presumption on that. But we realize everything is just about God himself working. He is a Spirit working, and through the manifesting of his Son to you, how did he bring the whole family back to himself? Do you understand that? So it is God also, now that he has built a church, he began to build this building, this holy city, New Jerusalem, the city that he was going to build. And we are at the beginning, as I said, it's a stone, then a building, a temple, then the whole city. So God is making this bride, this body, which is a part of Christ, or the body of Christ. So since you are in it, he wants to give you gifts too. Huh? Isn't it? He not just give you, you and me, the Lord Jesus kind of stuff, but he wants to give you spiritual gifts. And this is why when we look into this, we need to understand that the giver is not just, as denominators say, the Holy Spirit is the one to give. No, it's God himself. The Holy Spirit is not some other person. Amen? This, I believe that we all know this truth. Now, the one that, there is a giver. If there is a gift, there must be a giver. The giver, of course, is none other than the Almighty God or the Spirit of God himself to give. And we are the one that receive these gifts. Now, in every religion, we realize that in every religion, people pray for blessing. And even in pagan religion, they pray for some kind of gift too. And so much so we have, you have this Bomo who can heal. We have the mediums. They believe that they can heal. Is that not so? You see. But we see in the Old Testament, it's not the way it was. In the Old Testament, we have the rabbi, the teachers. We have the priests, the minister, the word, and all these things. They don't claim to be healer or claim for any special gift. The only people that do have gift or do miracle were the prophets. That's why you see them in the Old Testament. There were men of God that came out, give a message and all these things. On a sideline, once in a while, they do miracles here and there, or miracles happen in their life. But here, strictly in the church, God wants to give you gifts. Now, in the end of this chapter, Paul says, desiring earnestly the best gift. Now, while we go through all this, do you want this gift? Would you want to desire for you? It is possible for you. It's supposed to be given to you. And it cannot give to you unless you actually earnestly seek for it. Because the Bible says, Paul said, you earnestly seek for the best gift. Yeah, don't have an attitude, like brother was testifying just now. If God wants to, he give. If God wants to, you know what I mean? I pray for no rain. Well, it's up to God. You want to give rain or no rain, it doesn't bother. You know what I mean? I pray for give, it's okay. But you know, it's not like that. You really earnestly, do you have an earnest desire to seek for those things? You know, and then you can become a blessing. You know, maybe, well, sometimes I look at fellowship in Asia. Asia, here in the Philippines or India. It seems that because the Asian people are more reserved. Huh? Pa chao. Gan xiao. You know, Chinese say, huh? Isn't it? We are kind of shy, so we don't want to, you know, to really stand up and do something or say something. Maybe we are afraid that we make mistake when we say something. Even sometimes coming up to say, okay, stand for testimony, we also find hard to struggle to give a testimony sometimes. You say, oh, to come up and sing a song. You know what I mean? You see. But I believe that if your heart is looking for gifts, God will make it possible. You say, oh, I'm very nervous when I come up here. You know, but you know, God can take the nervousness away. It's very natural. Because it's something that the problem is that we are all so self-conscious. And when we are conscious of ourselves, God cannot use us. Because we are always aware of our face, or how we stand before people, you know, how people look at us, perceive us. We feel that, so conscious of ourselves. But if we let go and like God, it's a totally different thing. You see that? So we need to desire for it. But no. As I said, I'm going to take you through this chapter and let up to you to really look for it or desire for it or not at all. And I can tell you this, many times this thing was not taught in the anti-message churches. Many of them don't teach this thing. It's, oh yeah, they say what prophets say on this. But that's about it. But do you really have the desire to look for it? You see? So you know, I'm not pushing you. Okay, but I'm not going to push you to, but I want to encourage you, to exhort you, to build you up, to say, okay, now there is a need for something given in the church. Alright? Let me honestly seek for this thing. Like there is help, as Paul was saying here, helps in the church. There is certain help that need to be done, that I can contribute. Then let me volunteer to do it. That I can do the best, because this thing I can do it. I have the gift to do it, I'll do it. That's why every one of us, remember, brother and sister, you are part of this body. And don't think, as Paul was talking about describing, if you are the head, and don't say to the foot, I have no need of you. The foot say, okay, I walk where I want to walk, the head must follow, isn't it? You see? So you cannot say, I don't need of you, I don't need of you, I don't need this, I don't need. And the thing is, Paul said, the one that is uncomely is the one that more attention should be paid to. So scrub your feet. Right? So these are the things that we need to understand, things that we see that there is a need, we earnestly desire for it. Amen. Alright, now this gift that Paul listed, they are all together, 9 of them. In verse 8, okay, chapter 12 verse 8, you have the listing of 2 there, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Verse 9, you have faith, gifts of healing. And then you have verse 10. Workings of miracle, prophecy, discerning of spirit, diverse kinds of tongue, interpretation of tongues. Right. Now all the other are 9 gifts. But these gifts actually are divided into 3 divisions. And it's very, we will not say strange, but God put patterns in the Bible. People are talking about Da Vinci Code. You know, and all this baloney stuff. But actually the Bible have codes there. The Bible have actually laid out patterns. And it always comes in, when God do some work, the pattern always end up in 3. Because 3 represents completeness. You know, justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost, baptism, manifestation as Father, Son, and then the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Then we have also here 9 spiritual gifts. But they all subdivide into 3 categories. Alright, the first we have is the gift of revelation. The second one is the gift of power or demonstration. The third is the gift of utterance. That is vocal or inspiration. Now, we can list that out. The Bible, when Paul mentioned it, it is not really in that order. As I said, the first was the gift of revelation. The second was the gift of power. And the third was the gift of utterance or inspiration. Now, out of these 3 categories, the first being revelation, we have 3 gifts out of these 9 gifts that are under revelation. 1. Under revelation, the 3 gifts is word of wisdom. 2, word of knowledge. three discerning of spirit. Now, all of the gifts of power, we have faith. The second one is the gifts. Now, notice it says gifts, not just gift, not one, but gifts of healing. And the third one, under these gifts of power, is the working of miracles. Not miracles, but the working of miracles. Or the third one, the gift of utterance, we have also the remaining of the three other spiritual gifts. The first is prophecy. The second is diverse kinds of tongues, the different kinds of tongues. Of course, when we talk about different kinds of tongues, we're not saying, oh, the church here, one speak Indian, one speak English, one speak Chinese. We're not talking about that. We're talking about supernatural utterance by inspiration, diverse kinds of tongues. The third is the interpretation of tongues. Now, we want to look at this. All of these nine gifts, if you ever study them, what do you think is what you desire? Is there something here that you think the church really needs? What do you think is the best gift here that you think, well, that the church really needs? You know, strange enough, in charismaticism and Pentecostalism, everybody asks for tongues. You notice that? Everybody asks for tongues. I wonder why. You know. But then the Paul, the very first thing may be, because their teaching was that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost, which is not true. Because Paul said, do all speak with tongues. And be, of course, in Pentecostal charismaticism, when they say that, do all speak with tongues, they say, no, this Paul was talking about, do all speak with the gifts of tongues, not the gift of the Holy Spirit Ghost, where the initial evidence is tongues. Do you understand the difference? They are trying to protect their doctrine. That is, that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. This is not the gift of tongues, but the gift of the Holy Ghost, where the sign is shown to you that you have the Holy Ghost only when you speak in tongues. Alright? But the gifts of tongues here is totally different as from that of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the teaching of the Pentecostal people and those of the charismatic. That is not really true. Because when we can go and later on look into it, if interpretation is such, then we have a lot of inconsistency all over the Bible here on the subject of tongues and Holy Ghost baptism. Alright, we look at the word of wisdom here. Now, first of all, wisdom is the ability to say or to do the right thing in the right way at the right time. And now I believe this is so true because even the revelation that God gives to every one of us, He cannot give you revelation just because you want it now. You know, and it always reminds me of Brother Hawking. When he recognized God as being a prophet, but he cannot accept the sovereignty doctrine. For years he was just so much against this. That's not possible. You know, but he cannot say until, I don't know how many years down the road, then he saw it. You see. And I always encourage people, if there are certain things that you hear, you don't agree about it, but there is some hint to it that it is true. You find it hard to, maybe to grasp it. All you do is to put it on the shelf, and down the road God will take it and show it to you if there is anything to do with the Lord's truth. You understand? So, revelation, like wisdom, can only be shown to you at the right place at the right time. You see? So that's what wisdom is, the ability to say and do the right thing at the right time. Alright? In the right way. And it is a supernatural received from God, a portion of His wisdom, or a portion of His wisdom, to know what to say and what to do. Alright? As what Jesus would say and what Jesus would do. Now one thing here you need to know is the Bible here says word of wisdom. It's not the gift of wisdom. Do you notice that? To one is given the word of wisdom. It's not the gift of wisdom. You know, wisdom can be gotten over the period of time as we grow in the faith. Obviously, isn't it? I mean, if you compare yourself 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I mean, you should be wise up in some of the things that you have gone through, some foolish thing that you have done. Now you say, oh, yeah, that's why, as I said, when you go along the way as a Christian, don't get so upset when you make a mistake. You realize the mistake, say, Lord, I'm sorry, I make this mistake, I repent, alright? But don't just, you know what I mean, sour over it or keep on rolling over those things. You know, we're all about to make mistakes all along the way. Break a twig here and there, break a branch here and there, a bone here and there, whatever it may be. You see? But we go on. Keep on pushing, going forward, running the race toward the mark of the high calling. You see? So we push on. Is that right? So we learn to order. So it's not the gift of wisdom, but the word of wisdom. Now we look at example how this word of wisdom operates. Okay. Now we look at Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11 here. We don't have to turn to it if you don't want to, but just write it down because I just want to finish off this subject today. The temptation in the wilderness. Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. Now how does Jesus Christ reply? You see? I mean, after all, Jesus Christ was, he grew in grace, remember? In wisdom also of the Lord. The Bible said that. So he grew. So when he was tempted, you know, you do not, all of a sudden, when somebody asks a question, you're so quick and now I have to shoot back with an answer. You know, when somebody is tempting you or somebody asks you something, you listen to it, and then I believe in the heart, Jesus prayed. You know how to answer. And the Lord God Almighty, His Father, our Father, give Him this word of wisdom to speak unto the devil. So that is a moment of time when there is a certain portion of God's word, wisdom, will come to Him, say, now, this is what you should say. He said, this is what you should do. You see? So another place where we say, the question also in Matthew 22. Here came these Pharisees, you know, religious leader to tempt Jesus Christ. He said, lawful to pay tribute to Caesar. Now that's another thing to try to trap him. He said, lawful to pay tribute. Then here is wisdom coming in here now. Huh? Remember one thing for sure. When we look at this category of revelation, most of the time, this gifts under the category, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, under revelational inspiration, you understand one thing, they always override. Most of these gifts override each other. Jesus Christ was given this word of wisdom. Yeah, when he speak it up, it become a word of knowledge, wouldn't it? Huh? You see? Then he knew, and he discerned too that they were tempting him too, right? So everything, the gifts are all always operating in Jesus Christ. Do you know that, don't you? You see? So Jesus said, show me the coin. He says, who is him, which is that? Then, say, oh Caesar, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And give to God what belongs to God. And that is a word of wisdom uttered. Alright? So now we look at another one here, the question of the Sadducees about the resurrection. And that is Matthew chapter 23 to 30. Alright, let's look at this one. Matthew 23 to 30. Here the Sadducees came, said to them, that say that there's no resurrection. Ask Jesus Christ, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, died, and having no issue, no descendants, no son, that you say, love his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the 7th, and all, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7th? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto him, you do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither married, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angel of God in heaven. You see, that is one of the things about it here. Each time when I go overseas, and especially go to places that are first time that I will go to. I will always be faced with a lot of challenge. You would have the extremists in the end time message that were coming. It was a bunch of quote of Brother Branham. And you do not know, I do not know when I go, when I have this meeting with them, ministers meeting, really they start, they want to ask questions. I have no idea what or not they're going to ask. And so you have no way of preparing what they're going to ask. You don't know before what they're going to ask, that you can come back, can, okay, spend some time looking at the Bible and say what to give to them. And so the same thing when Jesus was ministering over here, no idea who will come to him with all kinds, what kind of question. There will be, because he was in the day when the Pharisees were the mainstream religion, the Sadducees were the mainstream religion, you had the Herodians, the Essenes and all the other. And they are practically blinding the eyes of the children of Israel from the truth because of the traditions. And Jesus, of course, knew that when he preached the gospel, it will be contrary to the mainstream religion, and he knew that they will come against him and challenge him. But he wasn't to know what question they will bring to him. So when they brought this question to him, of course, Jesus had to stand there and then, by the word of wisdom from God, utter the word. And I was thankful because, for myself, I can speak only on myself just as much as Brahman speak of himself in the way that God dealt with his life when he was faced with so many different challenges again that came against him. I was thankful because in my early days in the denomination, in Pentecostalism, I indulged myself, as I said, lots of time, many hours in the Bible and on my knees. And when I saw the message that came out, and I realized that I had to remove all this traditional teaching and really go into deeply and move away from that traditional lingering, you know, doctrine that is at the back of my head and try to get that light. And I'm thankful for it because during those days in the Pentecostal, I was seeking for the gift of God. I was looking at all this trial gift and I was looking for it. And even when I came into this message, I said, God, give me wisdom. I need that. You know, I need that very much. Because without which, I wouldn't know how to handle it. I may be able to look at the Bible and teach and things, but when it comes to somebody coming to challenge, you know what I mean? At that point in time, I need wisdom. I need the word, I need that knowledge, what's going to come out, come out from the mouth of these people, or to be able to discern their spirit. You know, so I'm very thankful for that God, throughout those years, helping me through. That's why at the time that it was challenged in Uganda, I was faced with that, and people were watching, and the Lord just took control. Give me the word of wisdom to speak. And the Philippines, likewise, the same. You know, and over in Nigeria and Ghana. You know, one thing for sure that God gave these gifts is to edify the church, is to build up, is to guide His truth, is to make sure that the word of truth is still embedded in the life of God's people. Alright, so when we see this, now let's go in the next one. Luke chapter 10, verse 29 to 37. Here was a question that asked of Jesus, who is my neighbor? who is my neighbor? Interesting question. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. So who is my neighbor? This man is trying to justify himself. Of course, it was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, saying, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance came along a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, Well, Samaritan and Jew has nothing in common, alright? And as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound him up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn that took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave that to the host, and said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spend more when I come again, I will repay you. Now which one of these 3 thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the man said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus Christ unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know, it's about loving thy neighbor. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and you know, and thou shalt love thy neighbor. The question is, who is your neighbor? Is the neighbor, we always think, who is your neighbor? Young people say, oh, neighbor is my next door. The people who live next door is my neighbor. But who is my neighbor? Everybody around us is our neighbor. Huh? Those who really, you know, that fear God, yes, really good, they are good neighbors, I would say. But of course, there are bad neighbors all everywhere. And the Bible teaches us one thing, to love your enemy, even so. It's so contrary to the Judaist faith. Love our enemies. Look at what happened in the Middle East. How can, you know, the Jews still try to love the Palestinian? You know what I mean? But how long do you think that's going to last? Huh? Isn't it? And there are people who are racist in the world. Yes? You know. So who's our neighbor? Hey, let me tell you who's our neighbor. The Charismatic is also our neighbor. The Pentecost is still our neighbor. They're still our neighbor. Is that alright? And if you have seen a Muslim doing something good to a Christian, he's still a neighbor. You know. So the word of Jesus Christ comes out to ask a question. Who is our neighbor? And just to let the young man answer the question, which of these 3, you know, that shows mercy on him is the one that you should go and do likewise. The parent, the Samaritan, has nothing to do with the Jew, but just like the woman at the well. Alright, so now we have the next case of John. John chapter 8, 1 to 11, here was a woman taken in adultery. Oh yeah, they were taken in adultery and they did what they did to her. And Jesus asked them, who have not sinned, claim cast the first stone. Words of wisdom. Because by law, she must die. By law, she must be stoned to death. Huh? And Jesus sit down there and write something on the ground. Wonder whatever she was writing. What do you think was writing? Was he writing the name of all these people that was standing around? Huh? What do you think was writing? Interesting. Anybody know what you are writing? Nobody knows what he was writing, but he was writing something. Maybe he was writing the verses of what this man was thinking in their heart. Or was he writing the sin of each and every one of these people? For sure he was writing something. And he said, either well, no sin, let him cast the first stone. Wow, that takes everybody by surprise. You know what I mean? Sure. The other thing about this, one thing for sure, that when we look into this gifts of wisdom, we all may have all the liberty that we have in this faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel did not bind us, it set us a liberty. But we must have, even when we speak, we must ask the Lord for the word of wisdom. Even because we are liberated, we have the freedom. It doesn't mean that we can say anything we want, anyhow we want to. Because it can be a stumbling block. When we are stumbling block, we're going to answer, we answer with God for everything. Alright, the next one is the word of wisdom. I mean the word of knowledge. Well, this one is just a supernaturally given by God. We see from God a portions of knowledge concerning something in the past or present or the future. Remember, it is a word of knowledge and not the gift of knowledge. not turning under the fig tree. Again, you have Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, 48. I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Now it wasn't that Jesus Christ, some people say, oh, Jesus Christ, because he was God, therefore he had the knowledge of everyone. That is not true. When he came as a man, as a son of man, he doesn't know everything. Because he was just an ordinary human being. Divine. With deity in him. Is that right? So he doesn't know Nathaniel, except the Father showed him. Now the other thing is, we tend to say it was a vision that Jesus saw concerning Nathaniel under the fig tree. That is true. But it was the word that Jesus spoke to him. I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Is it? Alright, so that made Nathaniel come to realize. The woman at the well. The word of knowledge concerning her past. Yes, we say that Jesus could have seen the visions of all her past. Right? Or God revealed to him by a portion of the word concerning this woman's past. Then we have the coin in the fish mouth. And that is very interesting. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 17. Chapter 24. Chapter 17, verse 24 to 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, they received tribute money, came to Peter and said, do not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what king art thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of stranger? Peter answered unto him, of stranger. Then Jesus said to him, then are the children free. Isn't it? Well, obviously, huh? We children of God don't pay tribute, huh? Only a stranger in the land pay tribute. So, okay, then Jesus said, okay, notwithstanding anyway, you know, because he wasn't of this world anyway, huh? All the children wasn't of this world. Well, we have to satisfy these people. You know, we are strangers walking on this earth. But we have to pay tribute, okay? Oh, we are strangers, okay, we pay tribute. Huh? So, okay, Jesus said, notwithstanding, like we should offend them, go down to the sea and cast a hook and take out the fish that first come up. And when thou open his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Wow, that's really good. Anytime you need some money, brother, give a word of knowledge or something, go and cast a rod in the sea, bring out a fish, and you come out with a gold coin or maybe a $50 note in his throat. My own mind. You know, you talk about sometimes, you can say these miracles or whatever it is, you see. But in this section, we put it under the word of knowledge. Jesus knew. Joy to the Father saying, alright, go there and do just that, and you get the coin and pay your tribute. And now we have called John chapter 13, verse 38, Peter's denier. You know? You will deny me three times before the cock crow. Christ. Word of knowledge. God showed it to him. Speak it. You know? And you know, I just think about myself the time when I first went to Nigeria with Brother Patrick, and we were caught in the airport with the system of loading or giving extra passes, boarding passes to passengers, and so that to cram everybody in, hopefully that the first one that got in gets the seat. And so we know that we were shocked to hear that, and we know that we were in trouble. We can't get on board because all these African people were already queuing up. You know, I was sitting down there and I was just praying. I says, Lord, how are we going to get in now? I was just praying and depending on the Lord what was to come. And Brother Patrick and I were sitting, we were just talking. I was just kind of sort of putting everything to the hand of the Lord and just waiting for the time to come when the plane comes, see what's going to happen. That's all I can do because we're not going to push with this. How are we going to? We came up at the end already, no seat. Huh? And you know, all these white people are standing out there. You know, they are also giving in. But you know what? God sent this woman, elderly woman there, and this white woman talking to us and all these things. And I have no idea what was God going to do. But for a moment, you know what? when the announcement gave, already people walking into the gate, boarding the plane, and then this announcement came. Ladies and gentlemen, flight is ready for boarding. Economy passengers, please enter by the gate on the right. First class passenger and woman, please take the door on the left. You know what? The moment that this thing comes in, the word of Lord just came into my heart. And I know we will get in. I said, Patrick, let's stand up. And I said, lady, you are going in. And Patrick took stop and said, give me the boarding pass. You stand on one side of this lady, I stand on the other side of this lady. We're going through that door. You know, it happened so fast. And I just thought, go in, give it to the man. We just got it. You know, so you see that God make a way. When there's no way, I mean, we get stuck there in Lagos for days. I mean, each time the plane comes, we can't still get on board. We're going to fight with these people. Are we going to, okay, next flight coming, are we going to sit in the gate down there and wait for the whole next 24 hours when the next flight comes? Maybe 48 hours for all we know. It's not an everyday flight for all we know. I can't remember. You know? So it was very crazy, but, you know, God has a way of working things out. And just the word that comes, and we got it. You know, and I'm very thankful for God. Alright, let's go to the next gift, the discerning of spirit now. Here it also supernaturally is perceiving something that is taking place in the spirit world. Perceiving something or discerning, distinguish something that is happening in the spirit world. This is discerning of spirit. Now it is not the gift of criticism. It's not the gift of discerning people, huh? Or discerning, you know, discerning people, you know, this good man, this bad woman, or whatever, it's not discerning people. We are discerning the spirit behind the action, or the behavior of that person. Why he say the thing he say, why he do the thing he do. You understand? You discern the spirit behind the person. And you know, discerning the spirit, my first experience, that I really made myself look very foolish. Years ago, when the first time we came to Massey back in 71, maybe about 2 years after that, 73, I believe it was, maybe around that, we already printed out some of the books, and it was gone out to Malaysia, Indonesia, around the world. And I got a letter from someone in Indonesia, from Jakarta. You know, and wrote to me, he says, I received a book, you know, I came across a book, and I want to know more about this message. I'm coming to Singapore, I want to see you. So here came a young man. He's tall, you know, Indonesian, good-looking guy. And he came and I met him, and he came to my home. And I sat and talked with him and discussed, you know, all these things. I don't know what was in his mind. So he wanted to know more about it, so I shared with him. And then he says, okay, I'm going back and I'm going to take this to my people. And then he said about the church, the people are poor, of course, and there and this. And he never asked me for money, nothing. And while he was talking to me, you know, God was actually speaking to me. But you know what? Instead of being more tuneful to the Lord, I was, you know, this message came, was tremendous, huh? After 3 years, here are people receiving it. You want to get it out. Do you know what I mean? So, when he said he's going back, so he took the ferry from Clifford Pier. You remember Clifford Pier, the jetty? Oh, well, pier. So I went with him there and see him off. Now, while we're walking along towards the place, I was thinking about I should give him some money because he said he was poor and so forth and things like that, you know? And so I took out some money. I think it's only less than $100. But back in 73, $100 is a whole lot of money. Huh? When you work as a clerk, you only earn about $200 at about that time. You don't earn big. So, when I gave him the money to him, he said, thank you. Say he will ride again. He bought the ferry, and he went. I had to turn around and leave the pier. And God spoke to me. He said, you're not going to hear from him anymore. He has taken you for a ride. You know what? I just turned around. I said, why did I hear? Well, I knew God all the time. God was speaking to me while I was talking to him. God was turning to me and he looked at his spirit. He's gentle, very presentable. You know what I mean? You know what? Some people are very psychological. Huh? And says, oh my. When I gone out from there, I realized he never right. You know? So I realized that, you know, how important it is to really discern and pay attention. You get all excited with our work and all these things, but we don't hear. You know what I mean? And that's, you know what, the same thing when Jesus was preaching, the disciple was all busy, Martha was also busy with the, you know, giving out the tea and coffee, whatever, the snack. But here was Mary sitting beside Jesus Christ, paying all attention. You see? And Mary said, oh Jesus, why don't you ask Mary to help me? Jesus Christ said, she has the better part, I'm not going to take away from her. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes it's true, we get all, we work. And sometimes it's we I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've done so much for you and this. No, we all work, we don't hear the voice of God. We are so full of activity, we don't hear God's voice speaking. Maybe not just the work of the gospel and the ministry, but how is your work? Your work in the company, all is taken up with the company, all come with all the problems and all these things. Hey, Jesus said to the disciple, come on, let's take away from all this crowd and just go away somewhere peaceful and relax and just learn to hear from God. Do you understand? So discerning of spirit is be able to discern the spirit of the person. Not the person himself, but what makes the person behave the way he behaves. There is something that is acting upon this person's life. A spirit behind. Jesus Christ perceived the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You can see that in Luke chapter 12 verse 1. This is how Jesus Christ perceived them, you know, and understood the hypocrisy because there is a spirit working behind the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Then to Peter, Matthew chapter 16. You know, Peter boasts about all this, right? Why was Peter behaving like that? It wasn't Peter that was behaving. It was the spirit behind Peter that was making him to behave like this. When I was in Uganda in Kampala preaching, when we were preaching, I told you this incident before. I was preaching here after about half an hour or so. Here was a young man that got up and began to speak in tongue and create all kinds of things. You know, so the deacon had to take him out. When he was up there, he was rolling and was saying all kinds of things, creating a lot of noise outside the corridor, and then I had to stop preaching, and I told the congregation I would go and see to this problem outside. I went up there, that man was on the floor. The two deacons was holding him by the hand, trying to pull him away from the area where the meeting was. He refused, and he was saying, he prophesied, he said all kinds of things, and you know, I realized that there was a spirit getting on him. You know, I said, look at me in the eye. He refused to look at me in the eye. I know that there was a whole lot of oppression of the spirit on him. I said, look at me in the eye. I asked for his name. He refused to give, and the deacon told me his name. I can't remember what his name was now. I called his name. I said, look at me in the eye. He looked at me in the eye, and then he turned away, and then he began to prophesy. Brother Branham is the absolute. Watch the spirit. Brother Branham is the absolute. The thus saith the Lord. You know, if they have a curse on him, you don't do anything about it. I told him to take him out. They finally dragged him out to another classroom because it was a school hall. So you see that kind of a spirit behind it. I know that he was possessed by some spirit. You know. It's not this spirit, but he has subject himself to it. That's why, as I said, be very careful, brother and sister. You know, do not just simply receive every spirit in the world. A brother or sister simply receive them, because some of them carry all kinds of spirits too. Remember, demons go to church. Believe not every spirit, but trial them whether to be of God. And discerning is one thing that we need to discern, you know. Ananias and Sapphira's lie. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira. Hey, look, the money is yours. Ananias, Sapphira, it's your money. But you see, so many people are giving, selling whatever they have, selling half their property. They were so excited they received this gift of eternal life. They want to lay this thing before the apostles, for the mission, whatever. So, everybody is doing that. Ananias, Sapphira, so perhaps there's all this pride. Oh my, everybody, okay, we sell what we have. And then, you know, he took a portion of what it is and said, that's all. This is all that is it. Why do you have to lie? It's yours. But you want to show everybody that you owe you. Just like the Jesus Christ talked about the rich man that gives so much in the temple. Huh? And the widow that gives only 2 mites. Remember? It's a show off. Bring a whole lot of coin. Ta 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 ta. Our whole everybody can hear for 5 minutes. Ta 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 ta. 5 minutes. No, no, no. And the two and the woman and the widow is just 2 mites. That's pretty nice. Thick. And that 2 mites is all she got. She give more than this rich, rich man. Is that right? That's true, isn't it? And now as a father, why do you have to lie? Your action shows you're wrong already in the first place. As a spirit that works in you. And brother and sister, that's why one thing that we sing a song. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And we know that sometimes when we see a brother or a sister doing something wrong, don't be quick to judge, because there is a spirit that's motivating a person. And if he did the right thing or she did the wrong thing, just be powerful, you know, and pray for the person. Encourage the person to do the right thing and show what is wrong, what is right. And I believe that we all should know what is wrong, what is right. So there is always a spirit. I remember one time, I think it was Brother Bram's testimony regarding I can't remember who was that minister now. And it was his son, Billy Paul, I believe, that was there. That this man was discerning the line of people that comes. And there was one woman. And this brother, the giver of the sermons, said to her, go and be a missionary. And in her heart, she was actually designed to be a missionary because there was a spirit that was coming in. And this brother said that. And I think it was Billy Paul that said to her father, he says, I couldn't understand it. It's contrary, isn't it? And Brother said, he caught the wrong spirit in answering the question to the desire of the woman's heart. You see? Like Peter was able to catch the spirit behind Ananias and Sapphira. It was wrong. And he immediately nipped that in the butt. He said, what do you like? This is not all that you have. Whatever you have is yours. You don't have to lie. He said, this is all that you have. You know? Well, it's true, isn't it? With the wrong spirit, we get a problem. There you have Peter to Simon Magnus. You know, this Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts chapter 8. But by the gifts. Peter knew about it. He says, you have the wrong spirit behind in you. And of course, Peter spoke the word and you know what happened. I remember the incident here also in Malawi, when I was in Malawi. Look at this man that come in. This man that tried to make me to accept his doctrine. And keep on talking about Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. You know what? I let him be for a while. Then when I was in the hotel room, he came in with a few of the ministers. And he came into the room and he said, the prophesied against me. Oh, my touch of the Lord. This and this and this and this. This. And listen. Oh, he went out. He was on tape. Then after he finished prophesying, I said to him, I said, you are a false prophet. You are a liar. There's a spirit in you. If this thing come to pass, then I'm not a servant of God, I told him. I said, you better go home and repent. And he sat down there and looked at me. And everybody just looked at him. And put him out. We will have a lot of people that are enticed by demons doing the thing that is contrary to the word of God. Alright? The gift of powers, the third one that we have. The first is faith. Oh, we wish that we all have this kind of faith. It's a special faith that we receive supernaturally to be able to deliver people supernaturally. Faith in Jesus Christ is one thing. Faith of Christ is another thing. But this is a faith, this is a gift. My cousin, my mother's side, some of you will know him as in his best Peter, probably some of you have heard of him as Philip Hing. He has this gift of faith. You know, If a man want to ask for this, he must know how to exercise this. You cannot just simply use a gift of faith to deliver everybody. Because Christ doesn't go around delivering everybody. And that's why with this kind of gift, there need to be also discerning. You need to ask for the Lord, the discerning of spirit, what's behind that person before you pray. Because Paul said, don't lay hands on suddenly on any man. You don't lay hands on people and simply pray for this one, this one, this one. You know what I mean? Depends on who you are praying for, because you know you might be partaker of his evil deed. You see. Because the laying of hand is a way of imparting grace, imparting powers, or whatever God wants to impart through the laying of the hands. You see. As much as you can lay hand, you can receive from that other force or spirit that are working behind that person. So Paul said, lay hands suddenly on no man, lest you be partaker of the evil deed. You be identified with him in what he's doing. You see. Why ecumenism? Why are people running around with ecumenism in denomination today? I always think of Assemblies of God was always fighting ecumenism, World Council of the National Council of Churches, but today they are part of it. Do you know that, Sister Wendy? You're from Assemblies of God? Back in the 60s, oh, there was so much against that. But now what? They have been joining hand with the ecumenical movement. Now they are partaker of that evil deed. They are building up that image. Oh my, the words of the prophet of these last days is, you know, all the Jews will head back to Rome. Huh? And it's true. Denomination will head back to Rome one way or another. Except those that come out of the system and know it. Come out, be they independent, oneness, or whatever it is. Touch not the unclean things. And ecumenism is unclean. You cannot compromise the Word of God. You cannot. There must be a way to walk in the light of God's Word. Baptist one side, Methodist one side, Pentecostal one side, Episcopalian, Greek Orthodox, the Catholic, Presbyterian, huh? All the different denominations, all the different doctrines. How do they walk together? They have to throw away their doctrines and hold to the very basic. To say that we confess that there is one God. We confess that the Bible is the Word of God. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We confess that He died for our sin. The third day He rises again. That's probably about this and that. This is everybody's knowledge. Because Christianity is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God sent His Son to be a propitiation for you and me. Right? Everybody knows that. And everybody knows John 3:16. But is that all that is to it? Of course not. But they take that as their platform. That's all that is to it. Hey, brother and sister, my platform is not just John 3:16 or a few verses in it. My platform is the whole scripture. Is that right? Your platform is the whole scriptures. If we don't stay on this, then we can take whatever we want and throw this way and that way. And am I right? That's true. You see. I guess I have to close it here because of the time. I'll continue next week then. I want to thank God to bring us so far. Now we are already in the year 2006 and halfway through, almost. I don't know what's ahead of us. But I'm watching. It seems like there are going to be a little tearing of the Lord's coming. How long? I have no idea. I'm just seeing that how the word unfolds itself. But one thing is really, very true in the last day. People are falling away from the faith. And I can tell you one thing, there are a lot of people in this message that God gave us has come to a place where they have grown sort of a cold a little bit. With such an attitude, not that they are lukewarm or that they are what, but as to the Bible or as to the Word of God, they are just say, oh, you know, just sort of, okay, this, did it be like this, you know, we thank God for Brother Branham. We have the message, what else do we want? We know this, he taught this, you know, we know all this. Yeah, brothers and sisters, God is trying every one of us as to our love for His Word. If Christ does not come another 10 years, assuming that He does not come, yeah, and as would the Jew will say, when you say something that they don't like to hear, they say, they will speak, pick, no! You know what I'm saying? Huh? You see. So, if you said, if the Lord doesn't come 10 years, no, wait, you say, you know what I mean? Come on! You know, we don't want it to happen, 10 years is too long. We want Him to come early. But it should be, if the Christ does not come in 10 years' time, I can assure you that every one of us will go through some kind of a trial that we will one day, hey! It's too long. I don't know. And you will be wondering whether you can keep on walking in the light and be as sweet as you were once before. Or will be 10 years too long that you begin to go no longer as sweet as you were. Or that you are frustrated up because you're waiting. Just like, you know, oh, let's assume that, somebody's going to get married. The bride is all dressed up, waiting in the home for the groom to come. Huh? The groom supposed to pick her up at 8 o'clock and then go to church and she wait with 8 o'clock! Wow, not coming. Huh? Hang on, call. No connection. What happened? No connection. You know what happened? You wait. And then the mommy wait. The bridesmaid all wait. Nobody know what happened. The bride walking up and down the home, walking up and down the home. You know, is he coming or not? You know, in cases in America, you know many cases that they want to marry, they never get married. The wife, the bridegroom stays and wait for the husband. The husband went somewhere. You ever heard of these cases? There were so many cases. And the bridegroom just wait and wait. 9 o'clock. What's happening? 9 o'clock, flustered out. Waited, oh, it's getting hot, everything, you know? I don't think that, I believe that somehow maybe in that situation, if the Lord tarries long. And I don't think that we want to go that long. But I don't know, if God going to test us, He will test us. He's going to put out a bride that is unique. Certainly I don't believe the rapture is for every Christian in the world. It can't be. Huh? The sudden disappearing, pop, pop, pop. Did you see that documentary on the CNA? Apocalypse. Very interesting. People disappear like that. And there was a movie made, Left Behind. It was not shown in Singapore. Was it shown in Singapore? It wasn't shown in Singapore. Too far-fetched. But there will be an element of people that will walk out of this earth, just like Enoch. Just like Elijah. Sing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. The angels will come pick you up. But it will be a small element of people. You see. You know, God is testing every one of us of His love, of your love for Him, for His Word. You understand that? He's putting away. But God has grace for people. He still has grace and mercy for those out there in denomination. He does. The brother asked me, he said, Brother, what do you think about this pastor in Oregon? His dream. Will it come to pass? I said, maybe. I said, God have, God-fearing people in many different churches. God can give them gifts, because the gift and calling of God are without repentance. You see? But for sure, whatever it is, there is only an element of people that God is going to put them into the Word. You understand that? Because Christ was the Word of God made manifest. He was pure Word made manifest. And God wants the bride to conform to the same because they are His body. And that garment is going to be full of blemishes, of all kinds of traditional teachings. and the life of the people in the sins of this world, with the things that they are, the pressures of the world caught up with them. So that's why you need to pull away. Spend more time with the Lord. Spend more time in prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. And again, the joy of thy word. We ask the Father, as we look at this subject, Lord, and carry it through next week, we ask that in our heart, Father, to examine ourselves, that we desire something, O Father, of this gift, that the church can benefit from it, Lord. And O Father, we can always take an easy road and say, well, if you want a gift, you give it to us. But we also know, Father, if you do not want to force it on your people, except for those whom are ordained, Father, to be prophets and servants of the living God, to carry the word and take it to the people of the world. But as members of the body of Christ, Father, we have set every one of us in our place. And every one of us, Lord, we should look at ourselves and our desire to serve you and to desire special gift from you, that the church can be built up. And I pray, Father, Lord, in simple things that we can do to begin with, that if there be a brother or a sister, Father, they see a need in the church for something that needs help, and we know in our, they know that in their capacity, O Lord, that that is the few that they can do. Bless them, Lord, and guide them in that direction to be of service to the body. And as truly the Apostle Paul said, Lord God, help administration and so on in the body of Christ. And exhorting or edifying, Lord, and comfort of the whole body through the gift that you will operate in the church. So thank you, Father, Lord, for all these things. And we are learning, Lord. We keep learning. We just want to know and just want to move on. And want to have really blessing from you, even as we are blessed. We want to build up the body, not only locally in this place, but wherever there is need, O Lord, of those other saints around the other parts of the world. We commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.